Welcome to the WorkingMusician.com feature, Working Musicians. I had to do it different today. I'm excited to be back in the studio. I had a little time off. I want to give a shout out to my cameraman, Joe, to Gary Stukes on the board, to Keith, to Jim, to Rita. I want to thank everybody for making this a great experience. And I'm so pleased to have a close friend of mine in the studio today, Rudy Feinauer. Great drummer, great educator, and a really nice person.
Thanks.
Rudy, so today what we're going to do is everything you wanted to know about playing the drums. You know, and to me it's weird because we want to demystify it. And I'll give you an example. When I was a kid, I would go to Bruce Lee movies. And what would happen is I would see all the stuff and it was like, how could you ever do that? What's it about? Then I trained in Taekwondo, and after 6 months, not that I could do everything, but all of a sudden, oh, that's a back kick. Oh, that's a roundhouse. Oh, it's a spinning hook kick. Wow, I could do it, you know. So we want to demystify the drums. Let's start today, because you are an educator, with the pieces of the drums.
Okay. Let's start with the cymbals. All right, we got on my left side.
Speak up, boy.
Left side. Left side, the hi-hat cymbal.
Okay.
It also could be called the sock cymbal because you're playing it with your foot and your socks on, so it's also a sock cymbal. Up here is a crash cymbal, and this is also a crash cymbal. These are two different size crash cymbals, so I'll get into the sizes in a minute. This is a ride cymbal. Crash cymbals are usually smaller than the ride cymbal because when you hit them, you don't want them to ring too long. It sort of goes away pretty quick. If I were to crash on the ride cymbal, which is a much bigger cymbal, the sustain is going to be a lot longer on it.
The gong sound.
Right. So if I'm playing a beat and I hit that cymbal, it's going to ring in too long after the fill.
But of course, you can hit these cymbals in many different areas
yeah.
to get different sounds. Show us some different sounds on that.
On the ride cymbal?
Yeah.
Well, you just heard the crash. You can get the center of the cymbal, which is just a basic ride sound. You go up to the bell of the cymbal, which is in the
I love
top.
The bell.
Listen to that.
I love that. That's the cowbell.
Yeah, so. Right. Yeah. Does the sound. Each one of these cymbals you can do pretty much the same. With your bells.
Now, are they tuned to notes?
No. When the drummer goes to buy the cymbals, he has an idea of what the sound he's looking for is. Some people, you know, try and get a higher pitch cymbals than the one they already have, so they don't match them. Generally, the smaller the cymbal, the higher pitch is going to be. But not necessarily. Depends on what metals it's in, all that.
So now we get to the actual real drums.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me about them.
Well, right in front of me is the snare drum. Basically, it's called the snare drum. It's on the bottom of the drum. The metal wire is called snares.
Right.
I'm actually touching them right here.
So they, what do they do?
They vibrate. When you hit the head, the bottom head vibrates the snares. It gives you that sound. I can actually turn those off so you can hear the difference. It'll almost sound like a tom.
Wow.
Now they're on.
Yeah, one of the things I love about your playing is you crack the snare.
That's not what I just did. Yes, you can. That's a technique called an open rim shot. You actually hit the center of the drum with the tip of the stick and the rim of the drum with the shoulder of the stick at the same time. So you're going to get this.
Wow.
Yeah,
that hurts.
So you use that, you know, lots of funk grooves, rock grooves sometimes. You come in and out of it.
And what else you got?
Well, we got a rack tom. Here. And sometimes there's more than one. I brought one today. You can have 10, 2, you know, different size, different pitches. Again, when you get smaller, you're going to get higher pitches. And you have a floor tom. Floor tom because it's on the floor. Generally, these drums are just by themselves on the floor. The floor tom. Right. Rack tom, I should say, because it's racked or mounted onto the bass drum.
And what about the bass drum?
Bass drum is the lowest pitch drum on a drum set. It's supposed to be.
Yeah, baby.
That's what it's called, you know, the bass drum.
So put something together for us. Put in our last show, you showed us a basic rock beat. Show us a funk beat.
Oh, okay.
Like, what do we do? Brick House. Show us Brick House.
Brick House? All right. Notice there was the rim shot. That was the, you could hear the snare going. If I were to do the same beat without that, you could hear the difference. Here's the rim shot.
Right. Yeah, it makes all, I need a drummer who hits that. Mm-hmm. Some guys, jazz drummers sometimes are, don't have that technique down.
I've been there. I've done that. Many years of jazz playing, I came out of college and that was one of my issues. I didn't really hit the snare hard enough.
Yeah, they call that a fatback.
Yeah, I mean, beat. It's not just how you hit it, it's also where you place it in the time, in the groove. You know.
Let's talk about time and interacting with people. Mm. Now, the main person that you would interact with in a band would be the bass player?
Yeah. Yeah. He's my voice to the other musicians. That's the way I look at a bass player.
Now, do you like to lock eyes with the bass player, or you don't need to do that?
No, I don't really need to do that.
Yeah. Now, in my mind, you have a beat. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like surfing. Like if you ever watch someone surf, it's very rare that they catch the wave. Most of the time they have it a little bit fall out of it, which I call like kind of playing behind the beat. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they get in front of it too much and it comes crashing on their head.
Right.
And very rarely do they just have it down the center.
Right.
Now I know me, I like to hang back a little bit. Where do you find your space in the beat?
It depends on the song. It really does. Certain songs are easier to make them feel good on top, behind. You know, it depends on the song. Also depends on the musicians I'm playing with. For example, if the bass player is playing really far behind and I play behind with him, that becomes the new
tempo. The new beat. So the whole
thing
tempo
came back. So I got to be careful that if he's playing really behind, that I don't actually stay there. Because then the whole thing becomes slower. If he's rushing. I don't want to rush or be on top of the beat. Then that becomes a new tempo. So you got to listen to what's going on around you and you place yourself in the right pocket.
Yeah, I think of the Rolling Stones, and their bass player played ahead of the beat, the drummer was on the beat, and Keith Richards was behind the beat. And somehow that...
And there's always a pocket with the Rolling Stones.
Right. There was always
a pocket.
A groove. So that's interesting, because I would say generally I always play slightly behind the beat. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
But well, it's interesting that you can put yourself anywhere.
Well, that's the thing. I should come back to what you said. Ideally, me and the bass player are not fighting over where it is. In other words, he's not ahead, and I'm pulling him back.
Now, let's talk about that. We were talking about a friend of ours, mm-hmm. And we can mention his name, Anthony Candulo. And mm-hmm. you were saying that you really liked his playing. He doesn't. It's not like he's a super technically proficient bass player, but what he plays strong. And he grooves with you.
Right.
Am I saying it right?
Yeah, you are. Exactly.
But what you liked about Anthony was that some bass players who are strong will show you, the drummer, the groove. Right? So they'll start playing, and it's, this is the groove, and they're not really listening to you. They expect you to meet them.
Right.
Whereas what you liked about Anthony was, within reason, he would meet you halfway.
Right. That's the ultimate bass player for me when they do that. And Anthony has such a good sense of time, and has an immediate reaction to what I've done. So if I rush a fill or pull back a fill or do something that I push something, he's right with it. He doesn't fight me. But before I mention how some people play ahead or behind a beat, ideally I'm not supposed to be doing that. I'm not supposed to say, okay, you're too far ahead, I'm going to play a little behind you. We're supposed to be in the same place. I'm not supposed to be pulling a bass player back or pushing him forward. We're supposed to agree on where the time is for the whole groove.
I get you.
Yeah.
So, I mean, for me, it got to a point where, as a guitar player, as a bass player, I would only want to play with musicians who are above this level of proficiency, because then we get into that issue of someone speeding up, someone slowing down, et cetera, et cetera. So I know you play with Kip Sofis, who is a monster.
Yep. I'm lucky enough. I've been some great bass players. It's when you work with a good bass player, it's easy. You just listen and play. You don't have to think.
Now, one of the things that you do, because you play with a lot of groups, and I know you enjoy this, you get to play a variety of music. We were talking, you playing Tramps Like Us, which is a Bruce cover band. Mm-hmm. So you get to play, what would you call it, a garage rock?
No.
We'll just leave it at that.
I don't know what they're called.
Okay.
It's, most people probably know who he is. So.
Right. Yeah. Then you get to play with Gil Parris, who is kind of a jazz rock major label recording artist. That's kind of... Well, he's all over the place, but unfortunately for him, he finds to market himself, maybe he has to be like, what's the jazz? Smooth jazz.
Smooth jazz, Well, where's the market for a Shamil guitar? There isn't.
Where's the market for, how about
that's
this?
That's the problem.
Where's the market for instrumental trumpet?
Then you know you're a good point. It's really not
what's
a
the market for
market?
Instrumental trombone?
Yeah, no, you're right. It's an issue.
I mean, what's really the market for anything? I'm not really sure. I mean, it's interesting because I review CDs for More Sugar, the local music paper, and the people send CDs into the paper, and the guy who runs it, he just gave me a whole bunch of CDs. There was a couple of rock, and then there was a ton of, like, folk and bluegrass. But anyway, let's talk about you. Enough about me. Let's talk about you, Rudy Feinauer. Your greatest moments. Tell me about some of your favorite shows. And I'm going to help you. Marshall Tucker. You opened for
Marshall? That's right. Marshall Tucker with Gil Parris Band a couple years back. That was a lot of fun. Great guys. Marshall
at the
Tucker,
Paramount
Theater in Peekskill. I mean, they, you know, you walk into a situation, you never really know what to expect. But they, I mean, they just were so warm and kind to us.
So that means, now sometimes when you open a show, they don't let you use their sound. They don't let you use their equipment. They don't let you use their lights.
You hope not, but those things can happen,
But they treated you nice.
Yeah, they just opened up everything to us. Their food, everything, drinks.
Ah!
And that's the priority, right?
Okay, so here we go. So I love playing with Marshall Tucker
because
I like the catering. The catering was good, and they top shelf.
Yeah, but I mean, just the whole thing. They were so appreciative that we were playing the opening set for them. They were thanking us. You know, it was great.
Some other big shows.
I did some Spyro Gyra gigs with Gil, also warming up. That was in Tarrytown Music Hall. That was fun. Last year I did B.B. King's with Champs Like Us. I've actually played B.B. King's a few times. I played with Gil Parris also. Generally speaking, any of those big shows where you're playing a show, it's not a bar gig, no offense to Roger Z gigs, but when you're playing a show, you're doing a set, and you got hundreds of people there to see you play. They're not going to drink. They're not going to socialize. They're coming out because they want to see Gil Parris or they want to see Tramps Like Us. Those are the best shows.
I don't know if I've experienced that lately.
Well, most of the gigs I do are bar gigs. You know, one of those happen like maybe every other month I get a gig like that where it's a show.
So your Tramps Like Us gigs are usually pretty good because what do you usually get? You usually have 500 to 1,000 people per gig?
Yeah.
So we were talking, and I'm trying to move my own self into a tribute band. And you know, you've seen me because you play with me. And, you know, first I was going to do Bob Marley, then I was going to do the Allman Brothers, and I was going to do this. And I think finally, with your advice, we may be settling on Tom Petty, who I never in a million years thought I would.
A lot of people like Tom Petty. I can't think of a tribute band out there.
But, okay, so you played some big shows. You teach, too. Now, do you teach for a school, or do you teach out of your home, or do you drive to people, or what do you do?
Right now I'm driving. I travel to all my students.
So the way that works is a little bit of a travel fee on top of the lesson.
Yeah, depending on where they are and how far I got to drive, there's a little bit extra for gas and whatever.
And you got an SUV, right?
No, I sold that.
Oh, you did sell?
The gas went up. I got a Subaru now.
You did, because I remember you hit the deer.
No, never hit a deer.
A moose?
No, never hit anything. Knocking on wood now.
Okay. I'm confusing you with the other 10,000 drummers I've played
with. Deer.
That's embarrassing. Okay. Anyway, so let's talk some more about the types of music you like to play. We talked about you like to play a variety.
Yeah.
And why is that? I mean, some guys just want to play rock. Some guys just want to play Latin. What is it that you enjoy a variety?
Well, first, I mean, any style of music where the musicians are strong and the groove is strong is great to play. I enjoy the challenge, I think. It's hard, I think, for me to sit down, or even in the same light, like I'm doing a Gil Parris gig. He'll call Brick House, which is the beat I showed earlier, and then he'll call Spain in the same set.
I've seen him
and
do
change
that.
Gears like that, Yeah, that's a whole head game that I get to get. It's a whole different way of approaching the instrument and how I'm going to play the instrument. And then that's the challenge of it. So when I go home, you know, when I'm practicing something, I sit down in the same way. I'll sit down, okay, I have to work on the samba, I have to work on the salsa, I'll have to work on this reggae thing, I'll have to work on this funk stuff.
Show me a Latin beat.
All right. This is just like a bass of salsa thing. And I'll explain more about it after I play it. Latin's an interesting thing to play on the drum set, but it's not made for drum set.
It's made for
percussionists. You got a timbales and congas and shakers, and so what they're doing is they're taking the parts of the percussion section. I'm deciding what parts to play on the drum set. There are various parts I could have played.
But that beat made me want to dance.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about that for a second. So especially on my bar gigs and other people's bar, well, my gigs, I want people to dance.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's how you keep them in the club, and that's how I don't really like to play and have people just sit there singing along. I don't mind it for the ballads, but for me, if they're dancing, that means they're really digging it.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do to get people to dance? Is there a secret? Is there a secret that some great drummers use to get people off the chairs and on the dance?
Just groove. You know, the sense of time and pocket.
And what does sense of time and pocket mean?
Space. It's the space between the notes. It's actually pretty hard to play a beat. Let me play a beat something like this. There's a lot of room in here where I can make a mistake and go and going a little too fast or a little too slow. Right?
Can you do this? Can you play me like some kind of groove? Play it where it's not really happening, and then where it really happens. I don't care what kind of a groove.
Right, let me
not something slow, you know, something mid.
No, I'm just trying to think of a nice. I'm trying to figure out a way I could play a groove that's not happening. Just sort of like not doing that on purpose. Of course, I've done it, but it's been a mistake. All right. Let's try this. I'm just going to do like a 16 note rock thing. And just because I'm better at playing it the right way, I'm going to do it right first. Now we're going to mess that up. Let's see how I do that.
So you played out of time on that.
Playing it out of time.
Okay,
yeah.
So basically what we're saying is even playing in time, there's just some quintessential thing that just locks in. And it also depends how you lock in with the bass player and the guitar player.
That's actually something that I should bring up. The groove isn't just about the drummer, it's about the whole band. You know, the whole band has to come together to make the groove happen. If I can play a really great groove, and there's a foundation of groove coming from me, but if it's not transcending into the bass player, into the upper parts of the music, the guitar player, and the piano, it's not really going to get through to the audience. They're not going to feel it.
Well, you mentioned something earlier. The best players are the players that are in the moment, which means they're listening, and the second they hear something, they react.
Right.
I remember I played with this drummer, Michael Bram, who's second I played with him. This guy is great. He's like just really listening, and now, you know, he's off on a major tour of the world.
Mm-hmm.
But I could hear it when he played. And it's like you said with Anthony, when we play with Anthony Candulo, he just interacts.
Right.
So
there's a style of music that leads itself more to that than other styles, in my opinion, that would be jazz. Just straight jazz, straight ahead jazz. The issue with funk groove, which is what I just heard, rock 16 note thing, is I'm sort of locked into that. I'm going to be basically playing that for 32 measures or whatever the groove, maybe different choruses or verses. I'm going to be playing that kind of groove. I'm playing a jazz thing. There's no set thing that I'm locked into. So if a bass player throws something at me or a guitar player throws something at me, it's a lot easier for me to react to it in that style of music.
Very, and it's also probably more fun to play because you're able to improvise the whole time.
Well, it's a different challenge. The challenge there is you know, coming up with the ideas of what you're going to play if you're having an off night. The challenge here is keeping this going, keeping the time real strict the whole time, the whole night, the same beat.
Let's talk about soloing.
All right.
What makes, now, on a bar gig, when I used to do my bar gig, I used to give a lot of time to the bass player solo, a lot of time to the drummer solo, and I've been, if you notice, I've been given less and less and less. And that's because I find that it's really an art, especially in rock or funk or reggae, to take, you know, a short solo and not lose the audience.
Right.
Bass players, usually they have to do a thumb thing.
Yeah.
That's usually what works. Drummers, as much as they want to go out of the beat, they got to keep the people dancing. But I don't want to tell you your business. You tell me how you could do a good drum solo and keep people's interest.
Well, best to, first of all, you have to go back to knowing what genre you're playing. If it's a rock solo, it's interesting. As I've gotten older, I've played less. I find that keeping the groove is the most important thing during the solos. So if I sit there and I start going, and the cymbals are washing out all for the whole solo, I begin to lose the interest of the audience. They don't understand it anyway. You know, there might be a drummer in the third row who goes, whoa, but the rest of the people in the audience are chinking their glasses and they don't understand anything.
The two most famous drum solos that I could think of is, I think it's Satisfaction, where he goes, bum, 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 like right in the middle of the song, which is nothing, minimalist. And the other one is Ringo's Tom Tom in Perfect, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right, but that kind of flows into what you're saying. Keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah, it's just keeping time. He's doing that the whole time. You know, you even listen to early Buddy Rich solos.
So he's keeping the pulse.
No, Buddy Rich never loses the pulse. He has some amazing chops. Everything's going to be really, if you pay attention to what's going on, musically, there's still a huge groove throughout a solo for the people who don't necessarily understand what he's playing. It's a great mix of a solo. But for guys like me who understand what he's playing, it's phenomenal technically. But for the person in the audience who doesn't understand what he's playing, there's still a groove to lock into.
Right, yeah. Right. And that's why the rock drummers used to have two drummers, and
yep,
have one
Allman
just keeping time.
Yes,
or they'd have the, I play with a drummer, Don Straffolino, I think, who's, actually it's interesting, I think he's got a pedal that comes out so he can hit the bass drum with his left foot.
Yeah, double bass pedal, I have one. I don't use it that much.
Anyway, so I'm sorry, I'm talking too much, but I want to ask you, so desert island question. We go to the desert. We send you to a desert island. We send you with a boom box, and you can only bring two or three CDs. So, what would you take with you?
Probably a Steely Dan Live in America record. Dennis Chambers on drums. It's a phenomenal mix of funk and jazz feels.
So that's the name of the album.
Yeah, it's called Alive in America. It's a Steely Dan record. Probably a Tower Power record. Also a live album. I think it's Live in Living Color, actually. Just funk. David Garibaldi sounds tremendous on it. And a Miles Davis record, probably a greatest hits record, because it would have a lot of the different years and genres that he played in. Yeah.
Guys, give it up for this guy. He actually prepared. I told him the three questions. I told him he's actually going to have to answer them. And instead of me asking him and him going... He was prepared. That's awesome. Hey. Well, give it up for Rosie. That was nice. And it's an interesting choice, but you know what? It's getting harder and harder to ask that question because mostly I get is, man, I don't listen to CDs. I got my iPod.
Right.
So now I may have to switch to what's on your iPod. But you know, it's weird for me because when I listen to the iPod, I still listen to albums on it. The only thing I might do is some songs, if I don't like them, I may just hit the forward button
right
on them.
I love my iPod.
You like, what's on your iPod?
Set list of bands I play in. I have a Roger Z set list on my iPod.
Oh.
I have a Gil Parris set list. I have a Tramps Like Us set list. And then, when I hardly ever have time to listen to what I would want to listen to. So I'm always listening to songs for the current gigs, whatever's coming up the next day or next week in my car.
Now, let me ask you this. How much, I got to say this. One of the things, and we've talked about this, that I love about your playing is we play in the three-piece. So a three-piece is a difficult thing to do. It's like a three-legged stool. If one leg is weak, you just fall down. There's very little room to hide. But what you do is when we play a song, is you put parts to them. So for the verse of the song, you'll play something. For the chorus, you'll play something different. Then when we come back to the verse, you'll actually come back to the part. And then to the chorus, you'll play the part.
Right.
Now, we were talking about certain bands, and we won't mention names, don't do that. They start off one way, and then they just change it the whole time. Right. But I love the way you give the song structure. That's one of the great things about playing with you, and I think it sounds so professional, because you're just not... And I think one of the things that you do that's good is you're song-oriented. You know, one of the... I hope what you're teaching your students is that when you play the drums, it's not about you.
Right.
It's
absolutely
not about you playing a drum solo.
No.
When the vocalist is singing the verse.
Right.
Basically, what I look for in a musician is if a guy comes in for an audition and he plays guitar, he plugs in and he plays some wild 24th note thing, I know immediately I don't want him.
I agree.
Because I'm not looking for that.
No.
If he comes in and he plays like a nice rhythm pocket or something, I'm going, oh,
yeah,
this cat knows what's going on.
Yeah.
So, but I think the problem with most kids when they learn is they think that if they're the drummer, the band's about them. They think if they're a bass player, the band's about their slap solo in the middle of the verse. You're laughing.
I agree. Yep.
And I, even to this day... You know, I have songs that I play and I'll sing and kind of the drums will stop and I'll be singing and maybe someone else in the band will just stick a licking right over what I'm doing. Anyway, any last words you'd like to say to like younger kids or anybody about the drums or about music or anything?
No, I mean, just a word of advice, I guess, for any instrument is get yourself a good teacher. You know, if you're going to start out on an instrument, especially in the early years, the first couple of years you're going to start the instrument, get yourself a good teacher. Make sure you start the right way. It's very hard to fix bad habits.
Rudy Feinauer, and that's myspace.com/RudyFeinauer.
That's right.
I'm sure in post-production or right now they're flashing it right underneath. We done. Thank you, Rudy.
Thank you.